Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. The tax deadline is approaching. Take a small action for your future and talk to your financial broker about a Zurich pension.
John, thank you very much for that. Now, DCU hosted a conference on the theme of the Good Friday Agreement today. Discussions examined if, whether 25 years in, the Good Friday Agreement had spread the peace dividend, how the potential of Northern Ireland can be unlocked through education and building one community based on equality and respect for all. Well, our reporter Una Kelly was there. She joins us now. Una, what did you find out?
Yes, Sarah. So there's been a lot of these type of conferences throughout this year, given it's the 25th anniversary. But instead of politicians arriving, this conference really focused on grassroots organisations and what their role has been in the peace process. And the first panel really focused on the peace dividend, which is whether the social and economic regeneration did come to some areas. And now Sean Murray, he's a community worker in a nationalist area in Belfast and also a policy advisor for Sinn Féin, and he said that it hasn't come to his area yet, but that they're still bringing some hope.
Well, we need to give them some hope that they'll not be taken for granted, that there will be some form of social and economic regeneration, that we deal with complex issues like underachievement, education. We're also dealing with major addiction problems, and I think a lot of this would come from the conflict trauma that I talked about earlier. This isn't intergenerational, you know. And there's massive underinvestment in areas like that. So we need to get real. We need to sit down. We need to designate what the key problems are and put in place a strategy for the deal with those problems. Because the danger is that to be intergenerational. If a parent now has having addiction problems, that's going to be passed on to future generations as well. It's a vicious circle. We have to break that vicious circle.
Are you hopeful for the future?
One has to be hopeful for the future. We've come through worse in the past. You know, 20, 30 years ago, those communities were killing each other. What we need to do is deal with the social and economic conditions that people have to live in, especially in areas that have suffered disproportionately during that conflict.
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think people are listening to you?
It has to happen. It has to happen. And I think people are starting to listen. But we need the wherewithal. You know, it's not just an aspiration. Where do we acquire the wherewithal? Because unfortunately, even if we had the institutions back up and running again to storm it, they don't have the finances or the resource to deal with it. Westminster still holds the purse strings.
That was Sean Murray there, and he also made the point that that feeling of being left behind, that also has been happening in loyalist working class communities too. And David Campbell, chair of the Loyalist Communities Council, he was on that same panel with Sean and agreed with him. He told the conference that there are areas in the Shankill in Belfast where 80% of families are now living in social deprivation, and that 25 years after the peace agreement, they're actually now worse off rather than better. So I asked him, in the context of this and the fact that Stormont isn't functioning at the moment, whether he's hopeful for the future.
We have to have hope, otherwise we just simply give up and go away somewhere. But my hope would be that sufficient political progress is made to enable the DUP to resume executive office at Stormont. I think realistically, if that doesn't happen in the next few weeks, we're unfortunately looking to the impasse continuing until after the next UK general election. None of that helps people on the ground in Northern Ireland. The only positive thing I would say is that, you know, we are debating these issues politically rather than violently in the streets.
Within the loyalist community, what would people's thoughts be about the DUP going back to Stormont at this stage?
The support for the DUP is pretty solid, and the support across the unionist community is, you know, is still resolute that there needs to be sufficient change to the Northern Ireland Protocol to justify the DUP going back into office. And that means restoring the fundamental principles of the agreement, that there can be no constitutional change without the agreement of the people affected. And we still need that restored. If they're patently not met, the party, as I see it, isn't going to move. I think they're going to wait till a new administration comes into power in London and perhaps reopens negotiations with Brussels. Certainly most commentators are saying that if a deal's to be done, it's this side of Christmas. Otherwise, you're looking to the parties positioning themselves for a general election.
That was David Campbell there. And often when you're having discussions about Northern Ireland 25 years into a peace agreement without Stormont, you often hear words like drift and stalemate. But the community workers who were talking today made the point that when there is a political vacuum, the community sector can help move things along. Anya McCabe, for example, she's the development manager at Fela. Now, Fela is a festival that was set up in 1988, one of the worst years of the conflict, with the aim of showcasing the good things that were happening in West Belfast. And she made the point that, in her opinion, too often people from outside Northern Ireland and often in the media are still hung up on the tribalism narrative. And she says that's not a true reflection of how things are on the ground.
I think so many people like to pigeonhole us into green, orange, them, us. And I think what came out of the conference today was that sort of the untold stories that go. I think somebody said it's no longer, you know, even a them and us from people who do pigeonhole. We have a diverse new comer community coming to Ireland. And I think Fela, you know, in all of what we do, whether it's our carnival parades, our debates and discussions, our sporting activity, we have international fairs, we embrace all of what is good about the community in Belfast, not just in West Belfast.
So as you'll hear from Anya McCabe there, the speakers certainly weren't all doom and gloom about the future, even when there is that storm and stalemate. There was a lot of discussion about how people involved in the grassroots community work are just innately hopeful. Linda Irvine is the project manager of the Turris Irish Language Project in East Belfast. That gives Protestants an opportunity to learn Irish. And she says it's a relatively modern lie, in her words, that the language belongs to one community. And community projects like the one that she runs are helping to break down increasing division in recent years.
Well, I think it's important, you know, if we want to create a genuinely shared community, then we have to break down the barriers against people getting together, being educated together, living together, and just having that shared experience of life. And unfortunately, I think in modern times in Northern Ireland, we are creating difference where difference doesn't sometimes exist.
This conference today and the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement is, of course, happening in the context that Stormont's down and we don't know what's going to happen. Are you hopeful for the future?
I am hopeful for the future. I mean, Stormont goes from one crisis to the next. That's just how it's going to be. I don't know whether we'll ever work that out. I don't know whether people in my generation will all have to be dead before there's a solution. But I am hopeful, because what I see is the majority of people within Northern Ireland are rational, reasonable people, and they'll work out it. They'll work a way out that we can move forward.
And that was Linda Irvine ending that report from Una Kelly.